Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Jason.
Hello, I'm new to your content and have found your podcast very insightful. I recently graduated undergrad this December and decided to take a break from higher education and obtain work experience. I currently work at a mid-sized law firm as a trust and estates paralegal. Is this a valuable way to be spending my time? How will schools view this? As well, what kind of success do you see with individuals to study for the LSAT while working full-time? Here is some further information. I took a diagnostic and scored a 149. My goal is to get a score as high as possible to not incur any debt. What should a timeline be for me to take the LSAT while working full-time? Okay, well, let's start with the first question. Is this a valuable way to be spending my time as a trust and estate paralegal?
Maybe, but not for the reason you think.
Yeah, you think this is good for your application.
Maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, Jason says, how will schools view this? And the answer is mostly they won't. I mean, mostly they don't give a shit. They care about your LSAT and your GPA. So, I mean, they're going to start with that. They're going to take your LSAT times a constant plus your GPA times a constant. They're going to turn your numbers into one number. And they're going to use that. They call that an index number. They're going to calculate your one number and rank you versus all other applicants.
Yep.
And if you're super high, they're going to be like, oh, wow, we're going to admit this guy no matter what he has on his resume. And if you're super low, they're probably not going to admit you no matter what you have on your resume. So it's like, you know, the reason to do this is because maybe you want to work in trust and estates as a lawyer. If you do, and you're getting valuable experience and making contacts, then it's a valuable use of your time. If you're well paid, it could be a valuable use of your time.
Yeah. Or just figuring out whether you want to be in this kind of an environment, right? Like,
but if you've already figured out that you hate it and or you're underpaid, then it's a terrible use of your time.
And you shouldn't even be going to law school, maybe.
Or, well, you should be investigating some other area of law that you think you might actually be interested in. There's a pretty damn big difference between a trust and estates attorney and a criminal defense attorney.
Sure. But there are a lot of similarities too. So if you kind of hate this general vibe, right?
If you hate lawyers, if you think lawyers are dicks and you just can't imagine continuing to talk to these people for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably just stop there. Don't do anything for law school applications purposes. Like, don't arrange your life for law school admissions, except to the extent that you get as good of undergrad grades as you can and you get the best LSAT you can.
Yep.
Those are the things that you should be spending your time on. Jason's already done with undergrad. Congratulations and or condolences if you have low grades. Your LSAT career, though, is in full swing, and that should really be your priority. I mean, no job is worth sacrificing your LSAT if you're serious about law school.
Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean you need to quit your job. If it pays your bills and you still can get home at a decent hour and study with focus either before work or after work, then for a lot of people, it's actually better to have a job and study for the LSAT than to try to study for it full time. So work is just a secondary thing.
Sure. And yeah, what kind of success do we see with individuals that study for the LSAT while working full time?
That's most people.
Most people are either school full time or work full time or some combination of school and work. Yeah. So our students are busy, productive people mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even differentiate them. I expect that most of our students are doing something full time or combination full time.
Jason's diagnostic was a 149. Reactions?
that's a damn good diagnostic. You know, it's not as good as the 159 that we were looking at earlier, but 149, I would bet, you know, that within a few months, we should be able to get you into the mid 160s. I wouldn't be shooting for 170 right out of the gate. You know, you need to get to 155, and then you got to get to 160, and then you got to get to 165. So I would be looking for incremental progress. You know, can you get to 155 in a month? Something like that. And if so, then, you know, I think you potentially, Jason, could be taking the LSAT this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably not be trying to apply this cycle. It's June right now, and Jason hasn't taken an official LSAT at all. I think you should probably be looking to apply in fall of 2023 to start law school in fall of 2024. And you could take the LSAT as many as 5 times between now and fall of 2023 applications.
Yeah.
So I'm not telling you that you should take it 5 times necessarily, but law schools are only going to care about your highest score. So you should do practice tests to gauge where you're at. As soon as those practice test numbers start to look like numbers that are going to get you to the school you want to go to at the price you want to pay, then you should start taking the official LSAT. Then you should keep prepping, keep practicing, keep taking the official LSAT until your highest official LSAT on record is going to get you the scholarship that you want. And you can check that at LSATdemon.com/scholarships.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.